C1 PR. Number 7B.
Then she goes on to the second subtone, which I would perhaps word it like this. Gratitude for the good already received makes us fit to receive more. There, spirit to spirit. You see, we get the focal point of the second subject. The focal point which really pervades that thing. It says, light produces light. If I want to have more of the spiritual, I can only have it through the spiritual which I already have, because only that produces more. So, what I have to do is to love that which I already have. So often we are dissatisfied with what we already have and say, I would like to have more. I would like to have more understanding. I would like to have more blessing. I would like to have more of this and more of that, and always more. It's a sense of accretion. The seed never says, I need a second seed. The seed always says, if I am given the right ground and enough rain and enough sun, enough warmth, I have everything in me. I can produce the whole tree in every detail. It never says, I should have more from the outside. And this is the law of spirit, which tells us so gently and says, now think, look into yourself now. The first big chapter was, look out for the big and all. The second subject says, now take it into you and see what you have of that already in you. And it is an inward view, an introspective view, the second subject. And so she says, how empty is such a concept which always thinks that God should give me a lot of benefactions? How empty is such a concept, because when I try to give information to mine, how empty is my concept of God if I ask for unmerited pardon? I ask of God something which he can't do. I have a completely empty concept. How can God pardon error? I wonder how he could do it. He would know error if he could pardon it. He can't. Why do I ask it? Because I have an empty concept of it. Why do I try to give information to God? Because I have an empty concept. I don't know that God is all-knowing. And so everything which tries to find something outside is really an empty concept. The substance lies in our heart, within us. And therefore she puts the stress on gratitude and says, that is that thing which we need. Gratitude for the good already received. Are we really, really, really grateful for the good already received? Then we shall avail ourselves of the blessings we have and thus be fitted to receive more. Here is this wonderful law of unfoldment, which just shows that unless we don't value what we already have and know of the spiritual, we are not fit to receive more. There is nothing in us which is receptive for more. If we are not grateful for that which we already have, the spiritual quality called gratitude is lacking. And without that spiritual quality, the spiritual cannot grow in us. And it's true, you know so well, even in the human, that grateful people always get more. Somehow, people who are always grateful inwardly, they always get things, quite on the human plane. How much more it is true on the spiritual plane? How much more is it true? I would bet, I think, any amount that each one of us, if he takes the time, the love, and goes home and for 8 weeks stays with those small little facts, that little good, that little seed. It's little, and yet, how can we say that it is little? How can something which reflects God be little? Nothing which reflects God can be little. It's always God-like. It's always big. And that's the point. If that which we have and have termed little in us, we would consider and love, we would make it great. We would see that it is enormously great. We would see, as I said yesterday, that each one of us is a king to 10,000 people on this world. Of 10,000 people, one big grace lies on us. And is that not enough to be grateful? And you say, well, what will that do for me? I don't know what it will do for me. I only know the spiritual law that if we are really grateful for that, for the grace we have, that we are fitted to receive more. In which way we will receive more? I don't know. Each one will receive it in its own way. But it's going to grow. It's bound to grow. If it isn't bound to grow, then we go better home fishing. Because then it's not true what is in this textbook. So here she touches that focal point of the second subject, which says, the second prayer is the prayer where I look inward. The first prayer, I look outward, as big, as wide as I can, as less restriction as I can. The biggest thing is the signs of the allness of mind. Then I say, well, where is that? Then I say, well, it's in me. It's really something which goes on within my consciousness. This view is not out there. It's really in here. And I take an inward attitude. I say, oh, how blessed I am. What a grace is on me. How big is my true individuality? My true individuality, which no eye can see. How big is that? And I begin to carry my child in my bosom. And it must grow, just as every other child grows. And the more I take care of it, the more I love it, the more I protect it, the more natural it will grow, and the more certain it will grow. And the law of the second day says, and it will unfold. So we come to the third subtone, where she says, all right, but that gratitude for the little we have must be genuine. Touch of soul, the sincerity of soul, the genuineness of soul, the integrity of soul. It must be genuine. She says, it's not enough to say, oh, how grateful I am that this and this are. Oh, how grateful I am for this and that. Oh, how I can give thanks to God for this and that. She says, giving thanks may be very coupled with a lot of ingratitude. There is only one gratitude, she says, and that is for every blessing to see that it is of the nature of life, truth, and love. Usually, we are very grateful for something that happens, that comes to us out of a very selfish motive. Something may happen to us which may relieve me from doing this and that, and I say, oh, I'm very grateful now I happen to do this and that. That's selfish. But the very thing, the very same blessing, can in our heart have another touch, can say, how marvelous, why did it happen? Why did that happen now? I think there must be a law behind it. Isn't it the law of life which always supplies and maintains? Isn't it always the law of truth that always comes in at the right moment and brings in the true situation? Is it not always love that is always at work and just leading us on and on in the plan of our manhood? Then the very same incident for which we can be grateful and thankful has another touch. It is given back to where it comes from. And that's why she says the best thing is to remember our blessings. If our heart is not near to truth and love, then it's ingratitude. For everything we thank, we have to be careful for what we thank. Is it selfish? Or is it that this very blessing takes our heart nearer? You get that sense of blending and blending of soul nearer to God. Is it that it takes me back and back to one root? Which says, my golly, it's always that wonderful law of life providing, of truth bringing out the right situation, and of love taking care of me. then I am grateful for life, truth, and love, and no more for the happening, whatever the blessing was. And so this tone of soul, which always has to handle the question of selfishness and to turn away from selfishness and always bring things back to the divine source, is necessary. It's that which tells us, after all, am I grateful for God because for what I get, or am I grateful for God for what He is? If I'm grateful for God for what He is, well, then that is sincere, genuine gratitude. The other one is not gratitude. It's not gratitude at all. Come to the fourth subtone of principle. Well, what happens? If I'm sincere in my gratitude, if my heart comes nearer and nearer to truth and love, well, then we can't help expressing a principled attitude. In other words, we come so near to God that we become a principled being. This is shown so nicely, she said, what we most need in prayer, or fervent desire for growth in grace, expressed in patience, meekness, love, and good deeds. To keep the commandments of our Master and follow His example is our proper debt to Him, and the only worthy evidence. It's our proper debt. Well, a debt, apparently we have a debt to God. Usually we have a feeling in the ordinary sense of prayer that God owes us something, that God must pay back something. We ask Him, when are you going to give me this and that? Whereas here she says, no, what we have to do is to give everything back to God. But she says it is proper, our proper debt. And proper means fitting or suitable by nature. It's fitting and suitable. So she says, what we must give back is a suitable debt. Because ordinary prayer says, all right, I pay for it. And I pay for it in the Roman Catholic Church. You pay it in money, or you pay it in praying so many prayers, or you do it through rituals, or do it in one or the other outward way. She says, no, that doesn't do it. It must be of the same nature as principle. It must be an adapted debt which we have to pay. And the only adaptable debt which we can pay to principle is a principled debt. So the debt she asks here is to keep the commandments of our Master. What were the commandments of our Master? In Matthew, we have only that mentioning of the commandments where Jesus said, well, this is the commandment, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The commandments of our Master were just the very thing which we had here in the second subject. It's the love of God and men. With all our mind, with all our heart, and with all our soul. That's the debt. And another debt is not acceptable to God. Any other debt of words, of outward worship, of rituals, of material things, is just not a proper debt. It's always a principled attitude which can pay the debt. Unless we have a principled attitude of loving, we can't pay the debt to God. And she says it's the only worthy evidence of gratitude. So you see, it's the only worthy. She doesn't say there are many. I can be grateful in many ways. She just doesn't say we think, well, we can be grateful in many ways. We come back to what we said yesterday. There is always that thing of one and infinite. But the one and infinite, they don't contradict. If viewed properly, there is one debt we can pay to principle, and that's only a principled attitude. That's acceptable to principle. And that's the only worthy evidence. So, He says, therefore, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, if you worship me, well, be principled. Be principled in your attitude. Then we come to the fifth subtone of life. I try to summarize it as the habitual struggle to be always good. We become more and more partakers of infinite blessing. In principle, you see the link of principle to life is this, that in principle she said that it is expressed in doing good works. In life she says to be good. It's quite different. In principle she says, all right, be principled, that's your death. In doing good, in keeping the commandments. But how long shall we keep the commandments? Well, that's just the wonderful thing of the days of creation, is that the more principled we become, the more we are it. The more principled we become through keeping the commandment, the more we be good. And so she comes to life and says, therefore, you can't help as you go through the order, the world order, you come to life where all that swelling order becomes your being. It's the habitual struggle to be always good. That is unceasing prayer. And she says, its motives are made manifest in the blessings they bring, blessings which, even if not acknowledged in audible words, attest our worthiness to be partakers of God. She said, even if not acknowledged in audible words. Well, as we come to life, to the fullness of life, where we are good, I don't think we need acknowledging good. If we are good, we are. It becomes the most natural thing to be what one is, to be what the divine nature is. And the blessing can no more be acknowledged in audible words because they are not sufficient to acknowledge. The moment they become untold blessing, they become unspeakable blessing, they become innumerable blessing, you can't talk again about it. And that's the sense which each one of us in some slight sense has really felt. That one just felt, my word, how big is this? It is. And one just can't say, well, it is because of this and this and this and this, and count up a thousand of blessings. One just can't anymore. It's just the sense, my word, being is, and blessing is. And so this sense of that isness, that's meaning to be partaking of the isness, of the good. You see how gently, step by step, she shows, if we start right, we end right. But if we start right, we can't help getting slowly out of the days of creation thought into the standpoint of the numerals of infinity, and then to the standpoint of the synonymous term. We just can't help it. Then she goes to truth and shows that by assimilating more and more of the divine character, by doing what the fifth day has shown, that we feel more and more that something in us just is, and is big, and is wonderful, and that it's unspeakably great, and unspeakably wide, and that we can't anymore thank for it, and word it, and define it in thousands of different terms of blessing. It's just big. Well, then something in us says, I become a new man. I become a new man. That's what she says here. Through this worship of spirit, we become a new man in truth. She said, by assimilating more of the divine character, we are fashioned into God's likeness. That's my epitome. That by assimilating more of the divine character, we are fashioned into God's likeness. She says, well, it is simply asking that we may love. God will never make us love him. That's true. Simply asking is a vain, empty concept. It has but we ask it. So often we say, oh, I would love this science more. Oh, I could love this idea more. We say, oh, I could love God more. But I can't. But if I can't love it, well, am I shut out? No, I'm not shut out. Mrs. Eddy shows through the subtone of mind and spirit and soul and principle how gently, step by step, that sense can be cultured that I be loving. Loving is not something which can be learned with a human effort. Love, to be loving is a spiritual quality, and this spiritual quality of loving here is something which grows and grows like anything else, grows naturally through the first tone of mind, through consecration of thought, energy and desire. Well, that's the first little touch of love. That's where it's already the touching stone. Can you consecrate? Yes, if I consecrate. That begins to unfold. One consecrates on what? Then comes the second subtone of spirit, said, on that which I already have and know and love. All right, I love what I love. And that love which I love is going to unfold because like produces like. Well, why do I love it? And comes the subtones of spirit, of soul, which says, all right, be sincere about it. I love it not because of a selfish motive. Because I see behind it is something much bigger than what it's blessing me. Behind it is life, truth, and love. It's God, it's the nearest, the practicability, the presence of God, which is constantly working, even if I don't know it, even if I don't think of it, even when I sleep, even when I go around, it's working. Isness is, the rightness of truth is, the ever fulfillment of love is. That's wonderful. And I become sincerely grateful. Then, as I worship that in sincerity, I can't help getting nearer and nearer to principle. And that attitude becomes my more and more constant attitude until I am grateful, I am gratitude, and I am loving. The days of creation are the background of everything. And I will spend the first 4 or 5 meetings we will have on going to that days of creation. They will be shown here in the chapter on prayer in the language of today. But they are the days of creation. Nothing else. But in the language of today. And they are the backbone. And if we skip the backbone, the flesh that will never grow on the bones. There will be dry bones. Then there is no bone to it anymore. So here you see how in truth she says, well, then you become a new man. You awake in God's likeness. And you can't, one can't. So, here, you see, in God's likeness. She gives here the answer to the proposition which she had put forth in the first sentence. She said, the divine being must be reflected by me. But how? By smiling? By being gentle? Now, said, go inward. Go look what you have inward. Culture that which you have inward. Consecration, gratitude, sincerity, paying your debts or keeping the commandment. Struggle to be what you are and keep what you are. That makes in you a new man, truth. And you awake in God's likeness. Here you have the answer. Truth always gives the answer to the proposition of mind. If this thing is true, if Mrs. Eddy has written what principle has told, and if she hasn't written what she has told, this thing must be true, and truth must give always the answer to the proposition of mind, or it isn't true. It isn't science. But she always gives. She always gives the answer. So she gives the answer and says, now what? And she comes to the last subject of love, where she shows that spiritual prayer, that spiritual worship confers strength for spiritual growth. See, that it gives you the strength which you need. Whereas she says, material worship burdens you. If we don't worship spiritually, we will certainly worship materially because we will do either or the other. We can't be neutral in our heart. Something is always happening in our heart, just as something is always happening in our mind. We can't be neutral. If we don't worship spiritually, we worship materially. And she says, and that clips the pinions the strong pinions of love. They say that to cut off the pinions of a wing prevents a bird from flying. Well, if we worship materially, we can't resurrect ourselves. But she says, if we worship spiritually, well, then our pinions will not be clipped. We get the strength. The strength to go what? To go forward, to go on, to go in the line of spiritual unfoldment, to reach spiritual growth. See, that's a big question which we are always faced with the patient. He says, oh, I'm in such a trouble. But the trouble and the waters and the floods are so big that I hardly can listen, that I have not the strength to resist it. And perhaps what they do is that they go in their quiet hour and pray to God to give them strength. Dear God, Lord Almighty, give me strength, and so on. Well, that's very nice, but there is no foundation to that. How on earth shall God Almighty give us strength if in us is nothing which receives that strength? If there is nothing in us which welcomes that strength? Well, we always come into that situation where we feel, do I have the strength? Well, if we feel we don't have the strength, all right, we have the order. We have the order. The order says, all right, go back to the subtone of mind. What is your consecration? Consecration of thought, energy, and desire. To what are you consecrated? To your problem or to God? And you have a right basis. And the moment you say, all right, it says, I must consecrate my thought, energy, and desire to God, you already begin to turn away from the problem. And you begin to concentrate on what you have and be grateful for what you have. And then you see, oh my word, God Almighty has always worked in my life so wonderfully. He was always life, truth, and love. And I just begin to be grateful for that and sincere about that. And it begins to grow on me and it begins to become more tangible to me. And I begin to feel that's the really true and substantial. And I feel, well, that's me and that's my manhood. And I get some strength. But that strength has grown through the 7 days of creation. How has it grown? It has grown through the worship. Strength is not just strength that comes somewhere down from the clouds. It's a spiritual quality that grows out of worship. That's what she says here. And then we have the right strength because we have something in our back. We have the whole world of God viewed from the point of view of the second day of spirit, of the second subject of prayer. We have that in our back, and then we can stand. Then our opinions will not be clipped, and there is spiritual progress. Well, here we make a break.